I invite you to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. And you say, I don't understand. We're in the book of Revelation. This is true. We finished up chapter 12 last week, and we're going to do chapter 13 next week. But we wanted to give you this information this week, and so hopefully this will help you. Daniel, chapter 2. One of the problems with this book is the use of symbolism. Is the symbol representative of an actual event, or does it reflect an idea? Are these things to be spiritualized? Then, is it always that way, or is it interchangeable? For example, the dragon. Is he indeed a real character? I think that he is. But does he actually have seven heads? I think not. Now, such is the difficulty with figurative language. We know that the writers expressing their dreams or visions used items familiar to them. Pharaoh understood cows, fat ones and emaciated ones. He could comprehend the skinny cows eating the hefty cows, but it made no sense that they remained thin. How would you depict the concept of prosperity followed by famine? Yes, he knew cows and he could count to seven. But in this instance, the number represented years. So we know from Joseph's interpretation that there were 7 years of fat cows and 7 years of thin cows. We also know the meaning of prosperity and famine. Now, as we approach chapter 13 of this book of Revelation, I think it necessary to consider this subject of symbolism. In that chapter, chapter 13, there are two beasts described. Who are they and what is John trying to convey? For this study, I've chosen to dip back into the Old Testament in order to lay a foundation for our interpretation, but also demonstrate like thinking. By this, I hope to show that a major part of Earth's history is involved in some capacity in those things which are yet to come. Hopefully, this will give some insight as to the nature of these two beasts when we begin looking at them next week. The title of the message today is Overview of Kings and Kingdoms. It is a topical message. I've asked you to be in Daniel chapter 2. You have a handout before you, and we will be covering and explaining the handout. That's the objective for today. Title, Overview of Kings and Kingdoms. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege to be back in your house and these that could be with us. We ask that you bless your word to our hearts, give us understanding minds, and just enlighten us by your Holy Spirit, that we might rightly divide the word of truth. Just direct our lives unto you, and we pray if there's any lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, that today would be the day that they would be saved. We thank you for all that you've done. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. We want to think about this overview of kings and kingdoms. You have the chart, and you see right there on the first column there to the left is Daniel chapter 2. And so let's notice verse 31 down through verse 44. Gather as much as you can through the reading, but I will come back and offer some information to you. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Nebuchadnezzar had seen a vision. Daniel's interpreting it. Verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, and his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men shall dwell, the beasts of the field and of the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. I submit unto you in our reading, Daniel chapter 2, is we have a premise that a vision well symbolizes nations. I think it's obvious when we just in the passing of the reading, but it talked about this image that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed, and Daniel had told him what that dream was and the interpretation of it. It talked about a head of gold, and if you remember as we read through the passage, that head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar himself. You are this head of gold. And then there was the breast of arms and silver, and then the belly of thigh, and belly and thigh of brass. Then we had legs of iron that went all the way to the feet, of course, and the feet were mixed of iron and clay. We notice in verse 33 and verse 44 about a stone cut without hands, and it smote the image and it was crumbled. Look at verse 44 and verse 45. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron and the brass, the clay and the silver and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And so we have listing in Daniel chapter 2 the mention of four kingdoms. We know that the first kingdom is Nebuchadnezzar, which would be then the Babylonian kingdom. What we find as we notice about the stone cut without hands giving away to God's kingdom itself, which will last forever and ever, is that earthly kingdoms will give way to the divine. And I think it's necessary to remember that as much as we see the kingdoms of this world. One of these days, all those kingdoms will be finished, and God will set up His own kingdom. So put this on the back burner, turn it on low, and turn over to Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, we have Daniel speaking about a vision that he had. And we won't read as many verses as we just read a moment ago, but this is a parallel indicator of a vision symbolizing nations. Daniel's vision expressed, we'll look at verse 3. Through verse 8, Daniel 7, 3. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise and devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, if you'll just glance down at verse 17 of the same chapter, what we find is a mention of these four beasts. These four beasts are four kings, kings, and of course represent four kingdoms. Verse 17 says, these great beasts which are four kings. So I told you the truth, didn't I? Which shall arise out of the earth. Verse 23, it says, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it into pieces. All these beasts represent kings and kingdoms. What did Daniel see? He saw a lion with eagle's wings. That was the first beast. The second beast was a bear chewing on three ribs. The third beast was a leopard with four wings and four heads. And then the fourth beast had great iron teeth and had 10 horns. Now, if you look into verse 24, we know that these horns are 10 kings. Verse 24, same chapter. And of the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. That shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And so we read in the passage that he sees these 10 horns. 11th horn comes up, and he uproots 3 of the other horns. So we have 10 kings, 11th king arises, and overthrows 3 of the 10 kings. I want you to notice something about this fourth beast that we have listed in this chapter that Daniel tells us, and I think it's important to understand these characteristics as we make application about this 11th horn. We have some description for us here in chapter 7. Look at verse 8. This horn is arrogant. It says in the text in the middle part of the verse, at the end, it says, behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Arrogance. Bold. Boastful. Look at verse 20. Verse 20. Middle part of the verse. Even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Does that sound like arrogance to you? It does, doesn't it? Pride, arrogance. Verse 25, first part of the verse. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. So we recognize that this 11th horn, whoever this king is an arrogant king. Back up to verse 21. Not only does this king have an arrogance about him, but he makes war with the saints. Verse 21 says, and I beheld the same horn, made war with the saints, and prevailed against them. Look at verse 25, the last part of the verse. The second part, it says, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And so we find that this king is an arrogant king, fighting against the saints or God's people. But this kingdom that he has is going to give way to God's kingdom, much as we've already seen indicated when we read Daniel chapter 2, and the stone that comes and smashes the image. This king will give way to God's kingdom. Verse 22, chapter 7. There was war against the saints in verse 21 until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. See that? Keep in mind the order, what we're reading in the passage. Look at verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. And so a new king is going to rise up, and this 11th horn, well, he's going to give way to the King of Kings. And so that's what we have in these first two visions. But let's look over into Daniel chapter 8 now. Daniel chapter 8, and verse 3 through verse 12, we have Daniel's second vision concerning the nations. Now notice how these pieces of the puzzle start fitting in and coming together. First of all, let's notice the passage, Daniel 8, verse 3. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had 2 horns. And the 2 horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had 2 horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and he was strong. The great horn was broken, for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of the heaven. And out of the one then came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. What do we have here? Daniel sees this vision of a ram with two horns. Then he sees a he-goat with one notable horn coming up. But when that horn is broken, then four horns come up in its place. Eventually, a horn rises up out of those four horns, verse 9. And, look at verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. See that? Verse 25, and through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of the princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And so we find in this king, what he does is he exalts himself. And you'll see back into verse 11 and verse 12 that we read there. You remember hearing about the abomination of desolation? Jesus made reference to that and said, Daniel speaking about the abomination of desolation. There it is, verse 11 and verse 12. This king that comes up out of the other four horns, this other horn that rises up over time, one that exalts himself and commits the abomination of desolation. You say, but how does this fit together? How does this apply? Daniel gives us an interpretation, and this is where the pieces start coming together for us. This interpretation is found in Daniel chapter 8. Look at verse 20. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn is that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. Then we read verse 23, or let's look at verse 23 again, where it talked about, just glance at it, the latter time of the kingdom, this king's going to rise up, understanding dark sentences. He's going to prosper, practice, destroy against the holy people. We read through verse 25 that he's going to destroy many. He's going to come up against the prince, and he's going to lose the war. Verse 26 then, and the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true, wherefore shut up the vision for it, and for it shall be many days. What's the interpretation? That ram with two horns, Daniel says, are the Medes and the Persians. We know that to be true because that's what Daniel says. The one that comes after him, that ram, is the king of Greece. Do you know who the king of Greece is being mentioned of in the text? Do you remember hearing in your history books about Alexander the Great? Alexander was the great king of Greece. He attacked the east. He beat the Medes and the Persians. But he died at a very young age. If my memory serves me right, I think he was 33 years old when he died. But Alexander was a great conqueror. And he came and he conquered the Medes and the Persians. And in his place, four kings took in his succession. What did we read in the passage? This ram, the he-goat comes with a horn. And when he's broken, four horns comes up. That's exactly what takes place in history. The Medes and the Persians were the world rulers at the time. And Here come Alexander the Great, coming across the Eastern Asia, you know, right there, where Israel is and Turkey, conquered the Medes and the Persians. Then he dies and four kings. So with this application, what we understand from Daniel chapter 8, let's back up. You have the chart. If you go back into chapter 7 once again, and we saw that there was a lion with eagle wings, we saw a bear chewing three ribs, and we saw the leopard with four wings and four heads, and a great iron teeth and 10 horns. I submit unto you, with this information we have at our hand, the lion with the eagle wings is the Babylonian kingdom. Next to that then, what followed the Babylonians were the Medes and the Persians. That's the bear chewing three ribs. Following him is a leopard with four wings and four heads. Makes a lot of sense when you think about Greece and Alexander taking a dive and four come up in its place. And then the great iron teeth and the beast with the great iron teeth and 10 horns. Who is the kingdom that came up after Greece? Rome. The Roman Empire. So if these things be true, if I'm making a correct application, we can also go back to chapter 2 and notice the original vision that Nebuchadnezzar had. It said he had a head of gold, and Daniel interpreted in that passage that head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar or the Babylonian kingdom, correct? Well, who followed the Babylonian kingdom? We know that the Medes and Persians followed the Babylonian kingdom. That means that the Medes and Persians are the breast of and arms of silver, correct? What's the next kingdom to follow that? We know it's Greece, and Greece then would be the belly and thigh of brass. The fourth kingdom which followed was the legs of iron, which end up with 10 toes, right? But what's the empire that follows after Greece? It's the Roman Empire. And so if you look down that chart, you'll see that these things line up side by side. Now bear in mind that all of these kingdoms are led by a leader. Every one of them. But we have different visions and applications about these kings and kingdoms. And I submit unto you, as the chart describes, it talks about the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, Greece, and then Rome. Now, if you would, go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. I know we're going to be discussing these verses verse by verse beginning next week. But it's necessary to gather some information and try to tie up why these things from the Old Testament apply to Revelation 13 and other places. In Revelation chapter 13, in verse 1 and verse 11, which we'll read, two beasts are going to rise up. So you have to, one of the things you have to do is you have to dismiss what you see on television all the time. You see these in the television and the movies, these creatures, and you read in these scriptures about the beast, you just figure, well, this is going to be some distorted conflagration of flesh and, you know, like alien or something like that. Well, you got to dismiss that. The term beast, you'll see what it's representing. Verse 1, John writes and he says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy." Skip to verse 11. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Two beasts found in Revelation chapter 13. We'll look at those next time. I submit unto you that these beasts are indeed the two kings. Now, how do I know that? If we're correct, go to chapter 19, book of Revelation. If I'm correct, the first beast is going to be the Antichrist, and the second beast will be the false prophet. In Revelation chapter 19 and in verse 20, it says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image, and these were both cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone." You see these beasts, and you might go, well, that just talks about a kingdom. It can't talk about a kingdom. Every kingdom is led by a king. And these, that says the beast and the false prophet, are cast into the lake of fire. Right? The fire with burning with brimstone. And they're called the Antichrist and the false prophet. So whatever you make of the beasts and the descriptions that we're giving, and we'll make further application, you cannot just spiritualize it away, because John says these two were cast in. And I've cautioned you before about, hey, you got to be careful about just spiritualizing everything. It's easy to try to go that way, but you have to be very careful. So these two beasts, you go back to chapter 13, these two beasts are going to lead kingdoms. That's what kings do. Kings lead kingdoms. Now we read in verse 1 and verse 2 of the kingdom description. It said that this beast had 7 heads and 10 horns. Isn't that what we read? Did you notice verse 2? Glance there, we won't read it, but you'll find that this beast with 7 heads and 10 horns was like what? It was like a leopard, had the feet of a bear, and the mouth of a lion. If you look in our chart up above, you will find who was the described as a leopard? Greece was. Who was described with a bear? The Medes and the Persians were. Who is the mouth of the lion? It's Babylon. And so when you think of this kingdom here with the 7 heads and 10 horns, and it's like a leopard and like the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion, all these kingdoms contribute to this kingdom that is being discussed within the text. Now this first beast that we find here, go back to chapter 12 for just a moment. We read in the passage that he had the power of a dragon. Do you remember that? The latter part of verse 2 says, and the dragon gave him his power. Who's the dragon? Chapter 12, we saw this last week, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So this first beast of the tribulation period that rises up, 7 heads, 10 horns, has an amalgamation of all the previous kingdoms, and he's dragon-powered. The devil gives him his strength. But you're there in chapter 13, aren't you? Look back there. Remember some characteristics we heard before and read about that 11th horn? Look at verse 5. This beast that rises up, is he an arrogant one? See, an arrogant king, verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. This first beast, the Antichrist, is very arrogant and proud and bold, presumptuous. Verse 6, notice how blasphemous he is. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Remember the abomination, the desolation that we read about in Daniel chapter 8? That sure fits here, doesn't it, of this beast? Well, look at verse 7, chapter 13 of Revelation. This same beast that rises up makes war with the saints. Didn't we read about that before, that 11th horn? Verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. A world ruler who hates God, despises God, blasphemes God, and hates the people of God. That's what the 11th horn did in Daniel chapter 7. Look at the chart. I submit unto you that 11th horn is this first beast of the tribulation period. Now what we read is this first beast that we mention of in verse 1 with 7 heads and 10 horns. Let's complicate it a little bit further. We hope to make it more clear, but you never know. Chapter 17, Revelation. Chapter 17. I submit unto you that this first beast is the 7th head. Why do I say that? Chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is wisdom, or here is the mind which hath wisdom. Notice the description that John gives us. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Seven kings. Five are gone. One is yet to come. Well, we'll look at this text in just a moment. But it mentioned there about he goes into perdition. Do you remember reading that there in that passage? I'm going to read to you 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is involving the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, listen to two verses, verse 3 and verse 4. Paul writes to them and he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." That's exactly what takes place at the abomination of desolation. This king rises up, exalts himself against God. He is the son of perdition, the man of sin, it says. And so this first beast I submit unto you, when we see, and if you go through chapter 17, this great whore is sitting upon a beast with seven heads and ten horns. And so what do we have here? I think the seventh head is the first beast of the tribulation period. But if you just go back to chapter 13 for just a second, I'll be coming right back to 17, but we found the second beast rose up during the tribulation period, I believe halfway through. In verse 11, it says, chapter 13, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and had two horns like a lamb, and spake as a dragon." Now you notice that this second beast is just like the first beast. How do I know that? Well, verse 12. "And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him." So whoever this second king is, the false prophet of this second beast that comes up, exercises all the power of the first beast. In fact, if you'll go back over to chapter 17, you'll find that this description, we left off in verse 10. In verse 11, it says, "And the beast that was and is not," notice what it says, "even he is the eighth and is of the seven and go into perdition." They're so similar, the first and the second beast, that it says these are five kings, or seven kings. Five are fallen, one is yet to come. That's seven. When seven comes up, he's going to rule, he's going to reign. But then when he's got out of the way, eighth is so much like it, you can't even tell. But it's so close. The eighth is of the seventh, you see in the text. Does that make sense to you? Now, if you look into verse 12 of chapter 17, we know that this beast had ten horns. We read that in verse 1 of chapter 13. Then these ten horns are ten kings. Revelation 17, 12. "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." And you'll find that they make war with the saints. Look at verse 14. "They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." These ten horns with power of the beast for 1 hour is going to go up and fight against the Christians. They're going to lose. They're going to lose against God. We read in the Old Testament passage about ten horns, and an 11th horn comes up and uproots three. I'm kind of wondering if these ten horns are the same ten horns back there, because these ten horns go against the saints. And it doesn't talk about three of them being uprooted. This may be a second set of ten. Not sure about that one. You'll have to figure that out. But you see these descriptions come together toward the Antichrist and the false prophet. And both of these rise up in the tribulation period, which is yet to come. Now, we're just about done. I want you to consider just a couple things. Go back to chapter 12, and I'll be done. Revelation chapter 12, I want you to consider two things. Verse 3, we read this last week. It says, "And there appeared a wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head." The devil, we know that is the devil. It's chapter 12, verse 9. The devil is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, Paul tells us that. "And this god of the world is represented by leading the kingdoms of the world. Thus we have seven of these heads representing seven kings. And the devil's behind it all because he's the god of this world." Back to chapter 17, the second thing. Verse 3, talking about the support of the great whore, it says in verse 3, "So he carried me away into the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And when you stop to think about it, you compare, both of these descriptions express world systems, world kingdoms. But you have to always keep in mind that the beast and the dragon are real entities with personality and character. So as much as you might want to apply the first beast, well, he had seven heads and 10 horns, and this is just some sort of kingdom that comes up, this guy is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So this kingdom must have a king. And the second beast is going to be a kingdom so similar to the first that it's expressed that the eighth is of the seven. Dragon power, devil is the one that gives them their strength. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire too. All this is yet to come. Do you see the descriptions? Do you see the comparisons? Take the chart. There's other information I didn't have time to cover over, but we have listed for us general national earth history. And we come down to the Roman Empire, who's going to be down to the end with iron and clay, partly strong and partly broken, 10 kings. And, well, you take what the truth we've seen, apply it to Daniel's vision, and you get a picture of the end times. Are we living in those times? Not yet. I don't believe that. But when the tribulation comes, then those are those times. And so I believe in a pre-trib rapture. I believe that the Lord will come back before the tribulation period. And then these kings will rise up, the first king in chapter 13, then the second king in chapter 13, verse 11. And if you know anything about chapter 13, what do you remember about that? The scary thing? The mark of the beast, 666. Will that happen? Yes. Yes. Because the Bible says that it will. I would encourage you to take some of this, go review it in your own time. And I've offered unto you the best I could what appears to be interpretation of the Bible, interpreting the Bible. And we can see the nations are laid out. So this is an overview of kings and kingdoms. I think it applies to chapter 13 and those two beasts. And we'll start the exposition of that next Sunday afternoon, the Lord willing. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Or we want to sing. Brother Kelly, would you go back there and turn off that video? Third thing down, just turn it off.